guys here, and welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grace, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I am Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Techno Games 2002, Day 7. We started off with the assault course as Wolf takes on the Cat's Whiskers.
And for some reason in my notes, ass is all in capital letters.
Does one of the teams have a magnificent booty?
Well, I mean, Wolf has a very flat booty.
Yeah.
I suppose so does Cat's Whiskers, so yeah. No. Really the only ass that we're getting in this assault course run is the ass of a performance the Cat's Whiskers has in the
Cat's Whiskers. So Cat's Whiskers apparently can get up to 13 miles an hour.
Although you would never be able to tell.
I get the impression it can do that, but it never has enough acceleration to get up to that speed.
I think it would need to drive for a significant period of time before it would get up to said speed. And considering, especially in the assault course, never mind in the Robot Wars arena, you only have a limited amount of space to be able to do that. So we got Cat's Whiskers versus Wolf in the battle of the age-old battle of cats versus dogs.
Yep.
3-2-1 activate. And then Cat just drives right into the cinder blocks right at the start.
And that's when you know what you're about to watch.
Mm-hmm. So Wolf makes it through, just goes around all the cinder blocks, scores the goal. Cat tries to catch up by going for the ramp. And high centers itself. And gets stuck on the ramp. And Wolf wins in 34.65 seconds. Great.
Yep.
So, yeah, Cat's Whiskers.
And Wolf only just misses out on the world record.
Yeah. I think Wolf was just playing it safe when it seen that Cat got stuck.
Ooh.
So we get our next competitors as Big Bro takes on Smash and Grab.
This battle gave me stress.
Oh yeah. So Smash and Grab say that there was this part of the robot that they needed to take out, and they hold up this big chunk of metal and say, "Ah, it's alright, Smash and Grab works without it." We go over to Ian Watts of Big Bro, and our little commentator on the floor gives him shit for what he did last time and says, "Right, you're supposed to go round the assault course, not just smash through it." And Ian's like, "Right, okay. So here we go, 3-2-1, activate. And at first I thought, oh, Big Bro's just taking it easy. Is he kind of ripping the piss a little bit to make sure? It's like, okay, look, I'm going to go round the assault course, da-da-da-da-da. And then it just seemed as if Big Bro just wasn't really up for it today.
Yeah, it just, you see it and it's limping really badly.
Just trundling along. So much so that Smash and Grab takes over, it gets in the lead, goes for the ramp, and falls off, and gets herself high-centered. So, Big Bro, just very, very calmly goes round the assault course. It comes up, nudges the ball in, it goes to the tires, and the tires don't move.
Yeah, because you can see it's just sitting there going, it's fine, I've won the match anyway, I just need to get...
Jesus.
It does the full pièce de résistance.
Yep. Well, one tire knocked over, so it did a bit better than pièce de résistance. At least the tire slightly moved.
And it is, you can just see it. It is so slowly. It is. Come on, buddy, you can do it.
It takes the biggest reverse and run for the second run at the tires, and it just trundles its way through. And then it's a shot of Ian Watts just with this look on his face like,
oh!
Fuck for that.
Yep.
So they interview him afterwards and he says, I think I was running with a dead battery. I'm going to need to go out and buy some new ones for the next event. And it's like, yeah, it just makes that make that sound like that's the most easiest, the most casual thing to do is buy batteries for robots, like, you know, a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But, you know, even with a dead battery, Big Bro still wins. It would be very interesting to see what would have happened had Smash and Grab not got stuck on the ramp.
Yep.
But nevertheless, Big Bro still does it. Now this brings us on to, and again, this is, it's the tug of war. And it's the exact same set of robots that done the tug of war that done the sumo.
Yes, it is literally just, what if sumo, but less strategic?
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, right, we had eight robots go in for the sumo. Let's just have those exact same eight do the tug of war as well. Because I thought it was going to be the same robots that done the tug of war and the sumo would also do like the assault course, because as much as I would hate to say it, wouldn't Storm Chaser be actually quite good at assault course?
Yeah.
Like it's fast and nimble. It would probably be able to, if it kept the little bits on the end that he used for football, it would be able to negotiate that football into the goal really well.
Yep.
I can't help but feel as if, like, I don't know why they didn't decide to do that as well. But,
One thing I personally like is the fact that we're getting an event involving a pit where Simon Scott is talking about Tornado.
Yes, I also had that. I also had that in my notes. I mean, it must be really interesting, the fact that, like, Simon Scott has to talk so highly of a robot that's going to him out of a second world title at some point.
Not a world title.
Sorry, UK title. I know, as soon as I said it, I was like, ah, that was wrong.
It gets two world titles.
It does get two world titles, but it should also have had two UK titles.
Yep.
So we had Storm Chaser versus Ridgeway. So how did Ridgeway, the very unknown robot going into this fair against Storm Chaser?
It does not go very well. You just see this kind of, it's this inevitable 7-second session where you can just see Ridgeback is trying so desperately to hang on. It was inevitable. Much like the next fight, which is Hellbound versus Sprocket. And you just see this awful moment with Hellbound as well. There's this moment where Hellbound does the same thing. Ultra Kill's like, no, no, I'm resisting. No. And yeah, Hellbound puts up a hell of a fight, but it also goes in the pit because it fits in the pit.
Yeah. I know, like, I'll give Hellbound a little bit more credit, to be honest. I think it Hellbound seemed as if it actually tried to fight back. Like, as we mentioned with the chip fight, I think that was a bit more TV magic.
Yeah.
But Hellbound looked as if it tried. So, Storm Chaser took out Ridgeway in 7.09 seconds, and Sprocket takes out Hellbound in 15.22 seconds. Then we have the Techsperts talking about, oh, we already think we know who's going to be on the final, and it's going to be Sprocket versus Storm Chaser. So let's see if they're right over the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because that would be quite the interesting tug of war final, to be honest.
Absolutely.
But we'll get back to that. Up next, we have the swimming.
Yep. So this is the semi-finals?
I believe so.
And it's basically there are four semi-finals because it's the winner in each race.
Yeah, and the fastest loser.
Oh, the fastest loser overall.
No, sorry. It's the fastest loser in each race.
Right, well, that would make this a quarterfinal because there's...
Is it?
I don't know. Anyway. The way they talk about it makes it sound like it's only the winner that goes through.
Right, no, sorry. Sorry, I beg your pardon. I think we're on different wavelengths there. Whoever wins this race is through and that's it. Right. What I meant was it was the winner and fastest loser in the last heats that advanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, so that was both of us on
the four semi-finals to set up the four finalists in the next.
Yeah, and to be honest, I can't help but feel as if there was a little bit of decision making that you should have maybe changed, because we get Hypocrite, Molly Nessie Green, and then we get K9000 and Doggy Paddle Deluxe in the same race. You couldn't have tried to keep those two separate?
I don't know. I think it depends what... Because I get the impression what they were trying to do is... They were just kind of... I don't know. It's like so many of these other things. Do you want it to be a random draw or not? Because it's not really fair if it's not a random draw.
It's also just the fact that, like, in the other swimming event that we get later on in the show, we get Leggy Peggy and Tango in the same one again, and it's like, well, you couldn't try and split those two up, especially after they just raced against each other.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is a really close race.
Yeah. K9000 has fixed whatever the problem was with their first run, which was, let's face it, really bad.
Yeah.
And so it was the Battle of the Doggos, and it was intense.
Oh, it was incredibly intense.
Poor little K9000 was swimming its wee heart out, but it just wasn't enough.
Well, it clips the wall, and it just takes all the momentum out.
Yeah. But it was a great wee side-by-side race between the two of them for the first couple of feet.
Yep. So we then get the shot put.
Yes.
And the commentary on this is a clusterfuck.
Yeah, there's a few interesting little... tidbits.
The point where the actual results I'm using are from the Techno Games wiki, because I just got completely confused.
Yeah. I managed to figure it out, but that's through looking at my notes and then looking at the TV and realizing what was completely incorrect. But we'll run through the five runs first, and then we'll get to the incorrect points in question.
Yeah.
So we start off with Sir Lobelot and their second attempt. They introduced a robot and says that they borrowed a cake tin from their mother. And
it's
then
not a cake tin, it's a chocolate tin.
Yeah, that's a Quality Street tin. And also, like, why would you care that you took a chocolate tin? Look, I mean, they're only like £4.
Yeah.
Unless they were more expensive back in the day, I don't know, but
maybe, I don't know.
But yeah, not a cake tin and not a really massive thing to replace either.
Nope.
So Sir Lobelot, 16.4 meters for their second attempt. We get Armstrong, which apparently was going in with an injury. And then it just kind of says, ugh, we're going to need to see how it goes. It fires. It just fires vertically.
Yeah, it basically manages to hit the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. So even if, like, it did launch, it wouldn't have gone very far.
Yeah.
It seems
would have been
as
very high and very spectacular, yeah. But it wouldn't have been. Yeah.
Maybe about like 5 to 10 meters. Total Recoil. Their second attempt was a lot like their first. Just slightly less, but 29.2 meters.
Yep.
When interviewed afterwards, they were like, we already got the world record, so we're just chuffed that we got anywhere near that this time. And it's like, that's fair enough.
And it's one of, so it also means that I believe not only would they have won with their best throw, they would have won with their second best throw.
Yeah, that's right. Super Slinger, they were the ones that didn't have a throw in the last session.
Yep.
They literally had nothing to lose here.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they scored 23.9 meters, which is a decent throw.
Yep.
Because it finally worked, let's face it. They were saying that, like, they've maybe fixed the thing that was, like, ailing them in the first run.
Yep.
So it's just, but they didn't have all the springs on it either, so it really made me wonder if they had all of them on and went hell for leather, how much further it potentially would have gotten.
That's the thing, is it's one of those things, one of two things would have happened. Either it would have been a new record and it would have been over 30 metres, or it would have gone boom.
Yeah, because I think that's what they kind of said was, oh yeah, we had more strings to put on and I think we would have won if we did that. And it's like, at this point, why didn't you?
We'll get to that, because there's one other team that actually sits there and goes, well, we've got to the final, we might as well give it everything.
Mm-hmm. And then apparently, ballistically better by far, scored a no-throw that we don't get to see for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So now, this brings us to the medal results and, well, it technically is the medal results because they're in order. However, they're incorrect.
Right.
Because Total Recall, 30 meters and 29.2, correct. Ballistically Better by far got 26.8 meters in their first run, which is correct. However, it says their second throw was 23.9 meters. Now, I don't know if you remember, I just said that Ballistically Bare by far had a no-throw for their second attempt. So yeah. That's wrong. Super Slinger, their first throw was 0.0. And on the board here, it says it was 16.4 meters, which is incorrect because I just told you that they threw 23.9 meters.
Okay.
Sir Lobelot had 14.6 meters as their first throw and 0.0 for their second. I just told you that their second throw was 16.4 meters. And then Armstrong.
I've already lost track.
Yep. And then Armstrong, 15.6 centimeters for the first throw and 0.0 for their second. That's correct. So what has happened here is they've got the second throws the wrong way around. They've put Sir Lobelot as 0.0 for their second throw when they actually did throw 16.4. But they've given the 16.4 to Super Slinger, and then they've given the 23.9 to BBF, who scored zero. So they've all like went up one.
Right, okay.
So
how weird.
It technically doesn't matter because the throws that are in the right place do still work. So 30 meters for total recall gets them gold. Ballistically Better by far with 26.8, which was their first and only throw, gets them second. Super Slinger gets 23.9, which nets them third. But if you look at the medal results, it makes no sense.
Right. Okay.
But how do you fuck that up that royally?
And let it get through it. Because it's not like... It's a small organisation who rushed this out at the last minute. This is a proper... You know, this is a BBC-funded big show. I mean, this was 6 o'clock on, I think, with BBC Two, but still on a major channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
Every day for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. How'd you fuck this up, man?
Yeah. Like, that badly? Like, if it was just one score that was wrong, okay, fine. Somebody just glanced over it and... Yeah, but, like, that's three people's runs that are incorrect.
Yeah.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TechnoAxe.
Anyway, we get the next swimming semi-final.
Yep. Anyway, just hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Possibly.
So, the swimming. We're back in the pool, and we have Leggy Peggy, Hydro Juice, Roboduck, Tango, and Tad One.
So, Leggy Peggy and Tango do get a rematch, though it doesn't matter here because Leggy Peggy is not a factor.
She isn't.
Who is a factor, however, is Roboduck and Tango.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tad One is also just happy to be there.
Oh, Tad One is just like, I'll be honest, I didn't expect to finish the first time. I'm just here for the party. And so that Smith and Sharky can go, oh, it's a good robot.
Yeah.
It's a good boy.
I mean, like, It's two very interesting races at the same time because you've got Roboduck and Tango both side by side the entire race, and then just behind them you have Hydrojuice and Leggy Peggy right next to each other for the entire race. So this is now the thing that I want to bring up, and I mean obviously I just need to run by what it says here on the leaderboard, but I do have the questioning of it. So Roboduck and Tango literally went bump bump at the end of the.
Oh yeah, it's by a nose.
Yeah. So when the results come up, Roboduck with 18.53 seconds, Tango with 19.56 seconds. It did not take Tango nearly and well. Over a second more to touch that. Because, like, as I said, they went bump, bump, like Roboduck Tango, right after each other. But apparently, according to the times, Tango took a 1.06 seconds after Roboduck hit to hit the end of the pool. No.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'll maybe say half a second at most.
Anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's clear who's one and who's second.
I know, it's just another like little thing of starting to question some of these times a little
Yep.
bit. So Roboduck 18.53, Tango 19.56, Hydrojuice 22.68, Leggy Eggy I've got here 24.56, Tad 1 46.88. Everybody finished. Congrats.
Hooray!
And sometimes that's all we want. We just want good races where people will finish.
Speaking of a race where everyone finishes,
Yep. There's a joke in there somewhere. We go on to the heavyweight sprint.
and it's Ulysses versus Claude Hopper, and you can see that the team in, well, to this point, because obviously Technogames is playing it completely straight. And then it's like, so we're now going to have the giant shoe against the Nemesis Walker.
I know, and then like Team Ulysses, they just constantly keep making like references to like Ulysses just does what he wants. We cannot control this robot.
Yeah, we literally just go, we go,
Start.
start, don't kill anyone, on you go, son.
And yeah, they were saying like, oh yeah, last time his face fell off so he couldn't see where he was going. And then as soon as the race starts, one of his eyes falls off.
Yeah. And it's also, it's weird because after a while it becomes clear, Ulysses realizes, right, we're going to win this race. So, let us go at maybe three quarters of our actual speed to try and calmly and slowly get over the finish line without hitting the wall. And they come so close to doing it.
Till about the 10 meter mark, and then it literally walks in front of Claude Hopper that was about to boot it up the arse.
It's about to get a boot up the arse. You then turn around, and at some point, Claude Hopper's backwards? Somehow?
It was just so inexplicable. It was just like, wait, why are you backwards? And it's just like, shut up. And then it turns round and plops over the finishing line. And I'm pretty sure like Claude Hopper shaved off a significant chunk of time from its previous run with that, because Claude Hopper right. Ulysses got over in 45.94 seconds, then Claude Hopper gets over in 1 minute 13.87. I'm pretty sure Claude Hopper was up at about 1:30 or something before, so shaving time off is shaving time off.
Oh, absolutely.
So we and again, I just assumed that like like the rope climb, Clodhopper was just going to be announced as the third place winner for finishing. But no, no. we're going to get Clodhopper versus Black Widow for the bronze.
I have a feeling that's going to be good fun. Chaotic, but good fun.
Let's stomp on the spider. And of course, Ulysses versus Skull B squared for the gold.
Yep. However, we have one final event to take place in today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the final of the natural rope climb. And this should be an absolute cakewalk for RC1 against Ascender 2. However, Ascender 2 has gone big instead of going home.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and as we mentioned earlier, like, Ascender 2 just went... they literally went, fuck it, we've beefed up this robot, and it's we're either going to win or die trying.
Yep.
And you know what? For about 2 seconds, there was a race on.
Yeah, because what they've done is basically they just doubled the amount of battery power they're putting through the motors.
Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly noticeable, like the speed difference.
Unfortunately, what eventually happens is about 3/4 of the way up the rope, it suddenly goes. I'm out.
Yeah.
Not that it would have mattered, because by this point, Ascender 2 or RC1 is already finished.
Yeah, but it would have really been interesting to see the time that Ascender would have got, just to kind of compare it to his first run. Because it really did, like, just try its best.
Absolutely.
It was honestly really quite impressive. But also the other thing that's kind of, I find interesting in this, is the fact that technically it didn't finish.
Yep.
So, like, would that not mean Skeletron maybe gets himself? No?
No.
Okay. So, RC1. 8.53 seconds. It's a new record!
So it set 3 world records.
Yep, it just keeps besting itself.
Fair play to him.
Yeah. So Skeletron with the bronze, Ascender 2 with the silver, and RC1 gets the gold.
Yep.
Good stuff. Like, RC1, impressive little robot.
Indeed. And a well-deserving champion.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the end of episode 7. So we're on to Tuesday of the last week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 3 episodes to go, which means we are a month away from Robot Wars Series 5, which is the best series of Robot Wars ever.
I believe so, yeah.
Certainly, pre-reboot.
Yeah, well, I have quite a soft spot for Season 7, but Season 7 is bizarre.
Season 7's a weird one. Season 7 is one of those series where I actually think we'll find that it is the best series objectively.
Mm-hmm. But it misses so many heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Like, I know for a fact there's no Chaos 2, there's no Razor, there's no Hypnodisc.
Panic Attack is a shadow its former self.
Yeah.
As is it's Pussycat, though, for a completely different and very tragic reason.
Yes, of course. Yeah, PA is not driven by Kim Davis.
Well, Pussycat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've discussed that before. The unfortunate circumstances surrounding that.
Yep.
And then, yeah, but then, like, also you get the rise of Exterminator.
Yep.
So all that in about 3 years' time. But nevertheless.
Anyway, we will be back with day 8 of Techno Games next week.